Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and I welcome you to this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer, a day when we take your prayer intentions and offer them up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who loves you so much and wants to place his peace in your hearts. Now, a beautiful thing just happened. You just listened to Monsignor Stephen McHenry, and I'm following him today. And the beautiful thing was, a good 24 years ago, I gave a concert, a vocal concert, at his church, St. Anthony's in Ambler. And it was on, I remember the date, February 29th, which is leap year, right? 29th, 1996. And it was quite a beautiful time. And I thought, I wonder if he will remember, you know? So came to the studio, and he came in a short while later, and I was waiting to tell him the story. And he looked at me and, something about me, okay, so where do we know each other from? And I was amazed because we hadn't seen each other in 24 years. Isn't that wonderful? Delightful to see him. What a gift he is to all of you people who listen to him. Such a talented, holy, spiritual man. Such a gift of prayer, teaching, and on. Just celebrated his 50th anniversary and retirement. So this is a blessing for me today, to be able to come here, see him, have him remember that, yes, the concert did go on 24 years ago. So I'm excited to start today. Now, on our last two programs, I did part one on the Eucharistic Revival, the National Eucharistic Congress. And it was so beautiful. That Congress was just so special. Over 50,000 people attended. We're going there. And then followed up with part two, presented again, even more, on the Eucharistic Congress. Truly was an extraordinary experience, especially the time that we spent in front of the Blessed Sacrament in Eucharistic adoration. Now, whether you were in Indianapolis for that or whether you were home, it truly was special. I was home, and I was just watching it on TV. And there was that moment when the whole arena was dark and the camera zeroed in on the monstrance, the beautiful monstrance with the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the center. The Blessed Sacrament was there. And for a good 45 minutes or even more, there was silence. You didn't hear a peep in that arena. So quiet. And the only thing you saw was the Eucharist staring at you. Jesus Christ staring at you. I was home, and you better believe I was first on sitting on the sofa, and then I fell to my knees because the power of Jesus was so strong, and I knelt there for all of that time. It was just so wonderful, so wonderful. Now, there is something very special going to occur in this coming year. Pope Francis is going to canonize 15-year-old Carlo Acutis. Many of you know that. I spoke about him on part one because of his love of the Eucharist and the website that he sent on five different continents explaining all of those Eucharistic miracles. And then on part two, I spoke of another young man. Pope Francis is going to canonize Pier Giorgio Frassati and his love of the Eucharist. Two young men Pope Francis is going to canonize in this Jubilee year, this coming year. That is so wonderful. Now, there is another young person that I'm going to present to you today. This time it's a beautiful young lady. She's 17 years old. The venerable Montse Grases. She is from Spain. Her full name is Maria Montserrat Grases Garcia. And we will use the name Montse Grases as we go through this. Her parents use it, her friends use it, and even the papers that were submitted to the Vatican for her canonization also called her Montse Grases. Now, I'm going to show you her. I have her right here. I think it's important that you see her. This is Montse Grases. Is she beautiful? There she is, 17 years old when she passed in 1959. 1959 was not long ago. And when I did my research to present her to you today, I felt so close to her. I felt this was so, so special. She's so current. She's so, call it stylish or whatever. I'm going to put it right here. And I said to some friends of mine, I says, you know, I felt like I was sitting next to her in high school. That's the feeling I had with Montse Grases. There she is. I hope you can get a glimpse of that. Now, as we pray for your intentions, first of all, we do that. We pray for your intentions first before moving on. And I'm going to invoke the intercession of this teenager whose heroic life of virtue is leading to her canonization. Again, what a gift to our youth, Carlo Acutis, Pier Giorgio Frassati, and Montse Grases. What a gift to our youth and to all of us. Now, as we move on a little in the program, I'm going to share with you her life. Her life. You will love her. I know it. I know it. So I'm very excited about this. So as we begin, we always begin with prayer. And I pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we are so blessed to come to you today on this, our Friday day of prayer. You have given us this beautiful teenager, Montse Grases, on her journey to sainthood. Pope Francis declared her venerable, so we can go to her, Lord. We can ask her intercession for the many challenges that face our teens and our young adults today, and all of us. Lord, we live in difficult times, and their needs are greater than ever before. Lord, you love your children so much, but you see them broken and needy. They are fighting so many things. They are fighting addiction to drugs. The drugs are so lethal today. They are fighting addiction to alcohol. They are fighting depression, rejection, bullying. Bullying is a terrible thing going on today. Many teens are taking their own lives because of bullying. It's almost an epidemic. They have stress in their schools, stress in the home, stress with their peers. We hear all the time of this transgender stuff. Gender confusion, not only here in our country, but all over the world. Lord, what is the root of these hurts? How do we break through all of this? How do we heal? More and more we see the effects of violence in our communities, teen pregnancy, abortion, eating disorders. Faith, no church. Why go to church? They don't want to go to church. On and on. Lord, we see so many parents, they feel helpless not knowing how to help their children. Lord, they try. Our parents try, but they feel beaten. They cannot do it on their own. We need you, Lord, to take over these seemingly impossible situations. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to take over our lives and to take over the lives of these children. And Lord, we thank you for all of those young people who are trying to do the right thing, who are trying to meet the challenges in their lives head on, and they're out there doing that, who strive to be a positive influence in their families, in their schools, with their friends, and in society. So, Lord, Today in prayer, we go to this teenager, Monsi Gracias. She was a normal, fun-loving teen. Invoke her help. There are many young people and adults who have received favors from their intercession to her. Her own classmates did. Some of her classmates are still alive. So we thank you, Lord, for giving Monsi Gracias to us today. She loved the weak and the downtrodden, and she ministered to them at her young age. She had such a deep desire, this is primary in her life, she had such a deep desire to bring souls to you, Jesus, and she did it. She did it. Her friends would come to visit, next thing you know, she'd be taking them to you, Lord. And I am believing that she's bringing us to you today. Lord, you will hear our prayers through Monsi Gracias. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, I have some phone numbers to give you. 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. That's 610-527-2906. 888-343-2484. And we will take your prayer intentions. In fact, we do have some. We have some here right now to share with you. And remember, I always bring in the communion of saints. That's you. As I pray for these intentions, I ask you to intercede for our brothers and sisters here. You, the church militant, pray with us. The saints in heaven, the church triumphant, praying for us. The souls in purgatory, praying for us. And our angels are praying for us. In fact, Monsi Gracias had a very deep devotion to her guardian angel. So, here we are. Let's see. I'm going to start right here with... we have an update here. An update. The name is Brian. If you recall, Brian was removed from the kidney transplant list. He was removed from the list, and that was very sad. So his uncle, Kirk, decided to donate to his nephew, Brian, but they were not compatible. Brian, they went through the tests, and they weren't compatible. So Kirk decided to give his kidney to a stranger. And because Kirk did that, Brian was put back on the list and moved up to the top. To the top. Well, there was a donor on that list, a stranger who decided to donate his kidney to Brian. Well, both surgeries have taken place. That's what we were waiting for when we were praying for them. Both surgeries are completed and all are doing well. Now, Brian's aunt, Mary DeAngelis, who prays as part of this program, let me tell you, she's a faithful listener. She sent a photo to me of both organ recipients and both donors. Four of them in a photo with their arms around each other and a caption saying, "We will always be a family. We will always be a family." Is that a wonderful story? How these gentlemen gave their kidneys to Brian and to this other fellow. How unselfish of those two donors. We thank you for them, Lord. And we ask for a special blessing on them today. Thank you, Lord. Now we have another prayer intention. The fellow's name is Luke. Now, a while back, we prayed for Sherry. Sherry was my brother's sister-in-law. She was a wonderful nurse. She came down with multiple myeloma blood cancer. She needed to get a stem cell transplant. Her own cells just weren't doing it. But sadly, Sherry did not make it. She passed. And now, this past weekend, a terrible tragedy happened. Sherry's nephew, Luke, lives in Detroit, Michigan, with his wife and newborn twins, two little boys. And this story was carried in the news in Detroit and in Pennsylvania and all over. There was a woman. She was out of her mind. She was on drugs and alcohol, And she intentionally went into this quiet neighborhood, crashing her car into parked cars and homes in this very quiet neighborhood. Well, Luke and his wife were standing outside. They were going to have dinner. They were going to go out for dinner, first time since their children were born, the babies were born. Well, this woman recklessly smashed into Luke. She went at him a second time and pinned him under his car. Luke, just a few days ago, had to have his leg amputated above the knee. And his right leg broke his foot and ankle, and also he has internal injuries. Luke is only 32 years old, with twins 2 months old. They are so precious. He and his wife are in need of prayer, in need of prayer. Luke just bought the home that they were in. He just bought it 4 months ago. So we're praying for you, Luke, your entire family, and God bless Luke's wife. She actually ran over to that car that was out of control, and she put her hand in the window to try to turn off the ignition, but she wasn't successful, and that woman laughed at her. So you could see the evil that is perpetrated here. We pray for Luke and his beautiful family. Just had these two babies, everything to be happy for, and then this terrible thing happens. We pray for them, and we pray for all people who are suffering a tragedy right now. We pray here for Maria. Maria is 80 years old. She was just placed in hospice. Her body is shutting down. Maria, if you are listening, you are so beautifully named after Our Lady. Just know that our Blessed Mother is by your side, just as she was by the side of her Son Jesus. She won't leave you. She will not leave you, Maria. She's going to walk you through all of this. Just picture yourself encircled in Mary's arms. Picture yourself. Close your eyes and let the peace from her mother's heart flow through you. And Maria, we will continue to pray for you. We have here Rini. Rini is 1 month old, bleeding from his eye. They don't know yet what it is, just that he is bleeding from his eye. That is just something. That is something so sad for a child. You know, this is a prayer from St. Gertrude the Great, and it was about eyes. And I found this, and I'd like to pray this for Rini, for his eyes. These are the words of Gertrude the Great. I saw the Lord face to face. I seemed to see against my face another face, his face. It is but you, my God, who can know how not only my soul, but also all the powers of my heart. I found pleasure in this happy vision, in which the brightness of your eyes, like two suns, Gertrude saying it's of the Lord, that the brightness of God's eyes, like two suns, looked straight into my own. And all those who meditate frequently on the vision of my divine face, attracted by the desires of love, shall receive within them, through my humanity, a bright ray of my divinity. That's a promise of Jesus, which shall enlighten their inmost souls, so that they shall reflect the light of my countenance in a special manner throughout eternity. So we pray for Rini. We pray that that bright sun, S-O-N, the bright light of Christ, like two suns, he says, look straight into the eyes of Rini and heal him. Heal that one-month-old baby situation. We pray for you, Rini, and for your family who are going through this. Let's see. We have more intentions here. We have a lot of intentions. Thank the good Lord. Thank the good Lord. We're praying here for Neil. On our last program, we prayed, actually the program or the program before, we prayed for Frank, who was the brother-in-law of Louise from Massachusetts. Frank was placed in home hospice, and he passed and we prayed for him at this time. Now, this situation gets sadder. Frank's son, Neil, was up from Florida to be with his father for 6 weeks while his father was dying. Now, after his father died, Neil, who's 57, he returned to his job in Florida. He was only there one day, and he was found unresponsive from cardiac arrest, severe diabetes, was on life support, a ventilator, unable to recognize his sister. And he flew down from Miami, from Massachusetts, to Florida. His sister flew down there, and we prayed for Neil, but he never quite recovered. He struggled for about a month, and then he had a massive stroke and was declared brain dead. My friends, this is so devastating. He went to Massachusetts for his father days before, for his father's funeral, and Neil is struck down. The whole family is devastated. Terrible thing that has happened to Neil, and all the people he worked for are devastated. He worked for a group of police officers down there. He traveled with them, took photos, and they loved him very, very much. So we pray for that whole family. We pray for Neil. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen and amen. We also have Mario D'Adamo. It's already 1 year. 1 year that Mario and Paula lost their beautiful son, Mario, when a reckless speeding car crashed into him when he was bike riding in a park. Already a year. Mario was a lawyer, as was his dad, Mario, and he was loved and respected by all who knew him, both professionally and socially. His parents were a friend of Kathleen McCarthy and were a part of this radio ministry for 40 years. I attended Mario's Mass of the Resurrection at the Cathedral of Saints Peter and Paul. It was so personal, so spiritual, and beautiful. I again offer my condolences to his mom and dad, to his brothers and sister, and to you, Mario. May eternal rest grant unto you. May perpetual light shine upon you. May your soul, the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Amen. And amen. You know, you may ask me, may say, Grace, how did you ever hear of Monsi Gracias? That is a good question. I was looking through some literature from EWTN, and I noticed a little clip. It was only about 2 inches, and it listed a program called They Might Be Saints. I'm sure you've probably seen it. It's a wonderful program. And under the title was the name Monsi Gracias by Michael O'Neill. I said, who is that? I never heard of her. Well, my curiosity led me to do a little bit of research even before the TV program came out. I didn't want to wait the week or two for the program. I couldn't. I wanted to know. I was drawn to her and discovered some very special info on a beautiful 17-year-old teenager that Pope Francis declared venerable. I said to myself, I want to know her. Her full name, as I said, Maria Montserrat Gracias Garcia, born in Barcelona, in Spain. Put her picture up again, in 1941, died in 1959, not long ago, second of 9 children of Manuel and Manolita Garcia. Monsi is a lovely young lady and gifted in many areas of her life. She is a typical teenager. She had many friends, male friends, female friends. They loved her. They wanted to be around her because she brought out the best in them. She is someone our youth can truly emulate. And the timing of her coming to our attention, to me, is the Lord's timing. Couldn't be more perfect. I shared with you in the prayer I prayed the challenges facing our youth today. And Monsi is someone they can turn to and ask for help. And one of her great joys, this was so big with her, was reaching out to her friends in a loving, friendly way and lead them to Jesus Christ and the Blessed Mother. She had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother, even at such a young age. And we are doing that today. We are praying for your children's needs and also the needs of you parents and for all of you. Now, let me give you a little incredible background of hers. Okay? We had talked about the two young men that are going to be canonized. We talked about Mr. Acutis, and we talked about Pierre Frassati. They excelled in sports. Well, guess what? Monsi Gracias excelled in sports. She played basketball. She was on a team. She played tennis, was on a team. Badminton, ping pong, bicycling. She won a trophy, her first trophy in 1951, bicycling. So you know she probably won more if she won the first one, they said. She raced. It was just an unbelievable, gifted person. She also enjoyed mountain climbing. Remember Pierre Frassati? You see those pictures of him in his mountain attire? She loved climbing with friends in the Siva Mountains. Now, she was skiing. If you're in the mountains, you learned how to ski, and she did that. Well, when she was a baby, when she was only a year and a half old, she came down with bronchial asthma. And the doctor said to the family, move her to a higher altitude. All of you move. And to a drier climate. So they moved to the Siva Mountains. And she was healed of her asthma. She was healed. She moved on at the age of 5 to the elementary school. And she went to a boarding school because her sister had contracted polio. So the parents put her in the Jesus and Mary boarding school of St. Gervasius. And her two brothers were put in the school of the LaSalle school. Her sister needed the quiet at home. And they loved the schools they were in. And their parents were able to visit them all the time. So they had the presence of their parents with them. Now, after graduating from high school, Monsi continued her studies at the Barcelona Women's Professional School. Now, we spoke of her sports, we spoke of her education. Artistically, Monsi sang. She was a singer. No wonder. She's a woman after my own heart. She was a singer. That was just so wonderful. Now, I'm going to tell you some more. We have a lot to say about it, but we're going to take a break. And don't go away. I'm going to sit right here and wait for you to come back. We're going to go away and take a break, and then we have lots more to tell you about her. Some of it good, some of it difficult. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. And we do have a lot more to tell you about Monsees. That's spelled M-O-N-T-S-E-G-R-A-S-E-S. Monsees Grases. I said she sang. There I go, saying it again. No wonder I was drawn to her. She played piano, guitar, loved to have her friends around her. They would go over and sing. And she was also an actress. She acted in plays. She enjoyed traditional dances, especially the sardanas. It was a local dance. They would dance it in front of the basilica on the feast of Our Lady of Montserrat. Now, would you say that Monsees Grases was someone who was well-rounded? I think so. Even found time to do her chores at home. Her parents had 9 children, and she was more than happy to help her mother with the work there. Now, she had a temper. No, she had a temper. But she would argue with her brothers. But she worked through it. She worked through it. She developed a tranquil, serene character, friendly and welcoming to everyone. They all loved being around her because she lifted their spirits. Now, where did the depth of her spirituality come from? Where did it come from? At 17? Her parents belonged to Opus Dei, which means Work of God, founded by Saint Jose Maria Escriva. He was a priest who believed that everyone was called to holiness. We're all called to holiness. I'm called to be a saint. You are called to be a saint. And we'll say, no, not only the nuns and the priests and the monsignors, they're the ones called to be saints. But we all are. You can find God in your everyday life. That expression, bloom where you're planted, in your home, in your workplace. You don't have to do great things in your life. Just the simplest things done with love can make you a saint. Your work, where you go to work every day, is a service to society and an offering to God. Take personal responsibility. Be charitable. Love God above all things and love others. That was the charism of Opus Dei. That's what they preached. And that was something that she really got into. Well, in 1957, after much prayer and seeking advice, she asked to be part of Opus Dei. She realized God was calling her on this path, and it would change her life. She reflected on all these qualities to read these words written about her. These were words that were written, let's say it was Christmas of 1957, and she went and she bought figurines for the nativity set that they were putting together at Opus Dei. She was so high with joy, and it was there with those figurines that day that she gave herself fully to God. She wrote a letter to her patron, Father Jose Maria, and she said, "You cannot imagine, Father, how joyful and happy I am." She also bought stars and taped them to the wall and wrote all of her friends' names on the stars. And whenever she walked in that room there, she prayed for them. That is Monsees, so beautiful. And in writing about her, Opus Dei said this, and I quote, "First in Monsees' life was the contemplation of Christ's life, his humanity, as well as her Eucharistic devotion. She loved the Holy Eucharist. She would sit close to the tabernacle and tell the Lord all her joys, her work, her struggles, especially the struggle to have a greater gentleness of character. She had a deep devotion to the Blessed Mother and turned to her always. She had a deep humility and a determination to serve others." Now listen to what she did. With a few of her schoolmates, she would visit the poor in areas of Barcelona where they had nothing. And she would teach catechism to the children often bringing him little toys or candy. She was doing this at the age of 15. The children loved her, and she loved the children. They learned about Jesus from her. And even at that young age of 15, she had a motherly quality from her upbringing at home, taking care of all of her younger brothers and sisters. She was an amazing young lady, the venerable Monsi Gracis. This says servant of God, but she's been elevated by the Pope. She's now venerable. Now, you would think someone at this young age has a whole life ahead of her. She's going to do this and do that. She's incredible. She's going to make a big change in the world, on and on. Well, the Lord had a different plan for Monty. One completely unexpected for someone such a young age. On December of 1957, tragedy struck. Monsi fell ill while skiing in the mountains. She fell down and she began experiencing pain in her left leg. It kept growing. It was very painful. Her leg kept swelling. And the doctors discovered the pain was caused by cancer that continued to grow there. And it was called Ewing's sarcoma. Very, very dangerous illness. It caused her intense pain. In fact, her treatments were over a 9-month period, and 4 people had to administer her treatments. And every time she moved her leg or moved her body, the pain was incredible. Her prognosis was grim. And a friend asked, "How painful is this? Monsi, how painful is this?" She said, "It's like a dog with rabies biting me all the time." But she accepted her pain, and she said, "I just thought I had to be strong. I kissed my crucifix and I said, 'Serviam, I will serve. I'm not afraid of pain. If I am faithful in what God asks of me, he will help me when the hard part comes. He will help me when the hard part comes.'" Monsi used to call herself God's daughter. She truly is God's special child. And she would tell you, each and every one of you, that you are God's children, that you are a special child of God. I'd like to play a song for you, a song I recorded called "You Are My Special Child." I want you to listen to the healing words and let it speak to your heart. And knowing how Monsi ministered to those who came